as time went on, I realized even for small companies, if they had an invention or they wanted to start a company, I was able to supply them all the backend that they needed so that we could then make them into a real company almost instantly, get them distribution channels, which channels of sales rather, and get the product made, design it for the proper cost. We understand how margin works, where the price needs to work, how retail works and supply, the whole supply chain. So that became the whole model there. Meanwhile, as we're growing, I'm getting phone calls from companies like, I mean, early on it was Kodak and Calvin Klein, and asking us if we could help them, either design something or engineer something. And in companies like HanesBrands, we ended up being their nominated supplier for packaging. Meanwhile, we're doing business with major coffee companies all throughout the country, designing everything from the coffee boxes to supplying the bags that go within them. And one of my favorite jokes is our clients range from Hasbro to Hooters, which is hysterical, but it's true.
Yeah, you guys have worked with so many brands, including Canon, Gucci, McDonald's, Sony, Hanes, Calvin Klein, the Coca-Cola Company, Kroger, Disney, CVS, the NFL. But you've worked with so many companies. I could just go for days. So many legendary companies. And how does that feel having so much success as a company?
You're up, you're ready, and you're listening to the Brittany Mac podcast. Everyone has a story, applying them to inspire the world weekly on Motivation Mondays. Here's your host, Brittany Mac.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Brittany Mac podcast. Today we have the president of Design Edge, Mr. Matt. Introduce yourself to everybody.
Sure. Hi. Hi, Brittany. My name is Matt Nuccio. I am the president of Design Edge, a toy and game development company based in New York.
Yes, and Design Edge is an absolutely legendary company. You guys have worked with so many brands, including Canon, Gucci, McDonald's, Sony, Hanes, Calvin Klein, the Coca-Cola Company, Kroger, Disney, CVS, the NFL. But you've worked with so many companies. I could just go for days. So many legendary companies. And how does that feel having so much success as a company?
Well, it's kind of crazy because like in all the companies that you're listing there, they came about because of our success out of all things from the toy industry. So it's nuts. It's my career. I've gotten to work with so many legendary brands and get to meet famous people and heads of state and travel all over the planet, and it just all stems from working really hard and making great design.
Absolutely. What are some of your favorite toys that you've created?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, I know which ones are the ones that are the most iconic. Favorite's harder because it kind of changes all the time. But some of the things that we've worked on over the years are now just part of the American lexicon, like Tickle Me Elmo or Pogs or things like the Trivial Pursuit and Monopoly and Atari and all these collectible action figures and crafts and electronics, and it's some truly fantastic things that have changed people's lives. Like I'm always excited by the fact that if I got sick and died next week, I would pass away knowing that I've affected so many people in a very positive way.
Absolutely. And I love Monopoly so much. I'm a winner at that game. I love playing with everybody. That game teaches you so much. Like, it was also included in the book, Rich Dad Poor Dad, I believe, to teach about how to make money, teaching about money. So I like to use that game for that as well. So yes, I absolutely love that game.
Oh yeah. My favorite Monopoly, the one that we did, was the Spider-Man Multiverse. one that came out last year or 2 years ago. It's pretty cool. It's still, you can buy it now if you want to go on Amazon and see it, the Monopoly Spider-Man edition. It's cool.
Okay, absolutely. Can you share the story of how Design Edge was founded and how it evolved over the years?
Certainly. So, just, in a lot of ways, in all ways, Design Edge starts before I'm even born. So my dad starts in the toy industry around 1969, working for the legendary toy company Ideal Toys. Ideal's probably, they're famous for so many toys, but they invented the teddy bear. I mean, that's how iconic they are. He was there, briefly, and then he was at another company called Aurora. Then he, about the year I was born, he went to a toy company called HG Toys. And HG made all the puzzles and play sets for the popular TV shows of the 1970s and 80s. So it's everything from Smurfs to Welcome Back, Carter to Chips and Dukes of Hazzard and He-Man and Cabbage Patch. And they made all the play sets for all of that. And around when I was in middle school, they got acquired by a company in Chicago, and my father didn't want to move to Chicago. He wanted to stay in New York. So he left the company and he started Design Edge, which is the company I now run, out of the garage with my mother, who was an illustrator and an art teacher, and drafted me and my sister from day one. And there we were, working in the garage doing package design before computers. So we were doing it by paste-up mechanical. And I really learned like the Karate Kid way, wax on, wax off, and worked my way up. About 10 years, 15 years later, I took over the company, and we've been steadily growing and working into other industries ever since. And now, no longer in the garage. Now we're located on a movie studio lot right outside, not too far outside of Manhattan. And we have, satellite offices in China, and our clients are the world over.
Right. What were some of the challenges Mark and Linda faced when starting Design Edge, and how did they overcome them?
Well, some of the bigger challenges is that, they had to figure out how to make money, right? So my sister was in her first year of college, and they actually had to pull her out because they couldn't afford her tuition. She had to go to a different school that was less expensive. And really, they had to figure out how to make all the resources work, which is why, I'm, geez, what am I? I'm in like the ninth grade when this happens. So all of a sudden, I'm being told I have to, work on stuff on the weekends and on holidays and breaks. And in a lot of ways, I hated it initially. But my parents made it work, and there was a lot of sacrifice. And, we didn't really go on any vacations or do anything extravagant by any means. I mean, not that we did much of that beforehand, but it was a very conscious that that this was sink or swim, and we all, even as kids, we felt it. We knew this had to work. And my father's, tough guy from Brooklyn. He made it work. He wasn't going to take no for an answer.
How did Design Edge establish itself as a multidisciplinary design agency in various industries?
Sure. So, well, first we were born as a package design company, and we would also design showrooms. So that was our primary business. And little by little, we were also being asked to design products. And then we would take that product and we would start getting quotes, and we'd set up offices in China so we could manufacture it. So all of a sudden, we were doing the full service. And then as time went on, I realized even for small companies, if they had an invention or they wanted to start a company, I was able to supply them all the backend that they needed so that we could then make them into a real company almost instantly, get them distribution channels, which channels of sales rather, and get the product made, design it for the proper cost. We understand how margin works, where the pricing needs to work, how retail works, and supply, the whole supply chain. So that became the whole model there. Meanwhile, as we're growing, I'm getting phone calls from companies like, I mean, early on it was, Kodak and Calvin Klein, and asking us if we could help them, either design something or engineer something. And companies like Hanesbrands, we ended up being their nominated supplier for packaging. Meanwhile, we're doing business with major coffee companies all throughout the country, you know, designing everything from the coffee boxes to supplying the bags that go within them. And, you know, one of my favorite jokes is our clients range from Hasbro to Hooters, which is hysterical, but it's true.
Yeah. So, Matt, what role did you play in the growth and development of Design Edge?
That's a good question. I mean, I'm the president of the company and I've become the face of it. And, you know, we've gotten to a point where we're successful enough that I was getting involved in some of the political ends of industry. So I announced it on the board for the Toy Associations, which is the trade association for the toy industry, also the People of Play, as well as giving back by donating time to the United Inventors Association of America, which is the country's largest inventor advocacy through education group. We help inventors not get screwed over and help give them education material so they know how to do things right. And that recently got me a position in the UN through IFIA, where now I'm doing this on a global level. And I'm now sitting down with congressmen in Capitol Hill discussing, you know, possible ways of doing patent reform to help protect inventors from having their patents overturned. And this sort of press has gotten me a lot more exposure, and it just, you know, people are coming to me with their inventions, and corporations are coming to me to help them, you know, make sure that their product is designed properly and that their supply chain could work. And so it's been very exciting. It just through reputation, you know, it's one of those things. If you do things right and you do them honestly, the work is going to show. And that's what's been going on. We've always been so busy hustling that we never really realized that we never had time to do like a proper marketing for Design Edge. But I always thought that was a pitfall, but it ended up being a benefit because we don't look like we're faking it. We are who we are, and we do it well, and our reputation precedes us.
Exactly. Yes. I'm gonna ask you about that trip later on as well, because I want to know about your trip. So, can you talk about the transition of leadership from Mark and Linda to you, and how did that process unfold?
Sure. So I get out of design school. I studied at the Fashion Institute of Technology in Manhattan, and I got out of school and, you know, just sort of went to work Design Edge full time at that point, and working beside my cousin who still works here. And, you know, we were just getting things done. And my father had all the connections, and he was, you know, meeting with everybody, and we had a lot of very local clients. But the biggest headache we always had is my father wasn't too keen on flying, so he always preferred to have everything very local. So one of the first things I was able to do was hop on planes and go to different companies in different parts of the country. So I'd go to LA, meet with Mattel or Jax Pacific, and bring back work. And so that started to grow. And then the client base became really my contacts and not his. He started transitioning out so that he could do things like go fishing. And meanwhile, my mother, she still comes in once a week, and we sit down, we go through, you know, the bills and the invoicing and whatever's outstanding. So they still have their fingers in the pie. And it's good because they have a wealth of knowledge, and they've helped me tremendously. So, but yes, it was really the transition happened because, you know, I just started becoming the face of the company. And as soon as he realized he didn't have to put as much work in and he could enjoy his life a bit more, that's what he did.
And I believe I heard you mention that you guys opened an office in Hong Kong.
Yeah, we opened an office in Hong Kong in 2003, 2004. And that came about because I had landed a project to design packaging for Hanes brands, and that's core Hanes as well as some Champion stuff. Mm-hmm. And we designed it, we engineered it. We gave it back to them. They tried sourcing it. They had sourcing issues. Sourcing means trying to find a place to make it. I found, and then they came back to me and said that the pricing was too high. I thought the pricing that they got was not correct. So they told me I could cost it myself. I did. Next thing you know, they nominated us as their nominated supplier for the packaging. And I had to open an office in China to get it made. So there I was in China, sitting in Hong Kong, you know, with a very small crew, actually initially working out of an apartment, which is two other guys. You know, that was crazy. Just, you know, eat, sleep, and work together all the time. And as that grew, got an official office and became a supplier of goods for Hanes brands. And we were shipping that all over the world. And then going to places like India and Jordan and Carolina. And, you know, the Hanes has production all over the place. That was very exciting, you know. And I got to, they sent me to Jordan once to meet down with the factories. That was a very interesting trip. I had never been to the Middle East. And here I was, my first son had just been born a few weeks earlier. And I found myself, you know, trekking across the desert in Jordan to meet a factory.
Absolutely. And being in Hong Kong, did that have an impact on the company's operations?
Yes, because then all of a sudden we were able to start manufacturing for people.
Okay.
Because previously we just designed or invented products for them. And at that point, you know, we had connections in China already because my father had been working with many Chinese factories, you know, since his days in the toy industry. But once I was able to get there, we were able to work directly with the factories and really solidify the relationship so that, you know, not only do I know the factory owner, I know a lot of the employees, and I also know the kids and the grandkids and the fathers and the mothers. And, you know, it's really a big family unit. And most of those Chinese factories are family owned. And, you know, Design Edge also being a family owned business, that's a synergy that's very, very much respected on both sides of the coin. You know, the Chinese family is very important to them. And, you know, we often joke that Design Edge is the other Italian family business, but that's, you know, it's important to us as well.
Right. That's amazing. So how did Design Edge become a sourcing agent for well-known companies like Hanes Brands, Kodak, Barnes & Noble, et cetera? I believe you answered this question, but...
Yeah, I kind of just did answer that question. But, you know, getting through reputation. So once I had that supply chain done, I would just start hitting up existing clients who we were designing for and saying, do you mind if I quote this too? And very rarely did anyone say no. Like, well, you can get a better price, you know? And that's what we started doing. We started, you know, one at a time, being like, can we make this for you? And, you know, Barnes & Noble, we would go and not only I'd walk in there, I'd tell the buyer, you know, I got an idea for some games and some figures, you know, that you guys do is under your private label. And they'd say, sure, design it. That was very fun as well.
Right. So what were some notable achievements or milestones for Design Edge during your tenure, Matt?
Well, I got roasted last year in Chicago at the People of Play Awards. That was definitely a milestone. Also, when I was invited by the NSA to speak at their headquarters in Maryland, and I had to speak in front of an audience of like 200 plus people in a massive auditorium. There was also simulcasts around the world to military bases all over the place. And they gave me one of those achievement coins and they let me speak. I met generals. It was crazy. That was a big deal. Or being flown to Melbourne to speak at RMIT to Melbourne. That was really cool. And just, you know, going all over the world and meeting so many interesting people. It blows my mind that there's, you know, very few places in the world I can go now and not have somebody I can call.
Right. That's amazing. It's great to have relationships. How did your involvement with the Toy Industry Association and United Inventors Association of America contribute to your expertise in design and manufacturing?
Great. So a lot of that stuff actually is going the other direction. I'm helping other people in that respect. I'm a big proponent of just helping people and not being guarded. You know, I've over the years I've had competitors that, you know, they They never want you to see the secret sauce, or they don't want to tell you anything. They guard all their sources. They guard their techniques. I just don't do that. I just, I'm very free and like, what do you want to know? I'll tell you. It's, I think it's in a way that's insecurity. If you're, you know, trying to always protect your sources, I liken it to, if anyone's a musician out there, the best analogy is music, because you can give five people the sheet music to a piano or a guitar song, or teach them the chords of how to play it. Mm-hmm. And they're all going to play it slightly different with their own touch and at different levels. You know, one guy's going to sound like he's singing around a campfire. Another guy might sound like he's, you know, a professional. You know, it's your talent's going to shine through your instruments. So you're the asset, not your connections. You know, if you can just endear yourself to people naturally, that's fine. And if you don't like certain people, you know what? Stay away from them. You know, this isn't a popularity contest either. Just be yourself and do the best you can.
Absolutely. That's, you're the secret sauce.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Can you tell us about Design Edge's current offices and their significance, especially the relocation to the Gold Coast movie studio lot?
Sure. About, I don't know, 7 years ago, 8 years ago, we were asked by Nassau County and New York State if we were willing to relocate to what was the former Grumman facilities used to build the lunar modules for NASA and the F-14s for the, you know, during the Cold War. So there's a giant complex, all giant, you know, hangars built to build stuff for aviation that had been abandoned under the Clinton administration when the Cold War sort of ended, and they converted it all to movie studio lots. So the state asked us if we were interested in moving in, and they built out the space for us, and we've been here ever since. And it's pretty cool, you know, to drive in the morning and see an entire set built that's gone the next day, and occasionally see celebrities walking around, or get this every now and then. They'll be like, hey, we're filming a TV show. You guys want to go? And they'll give us tickets and we'll sit in the audience. It's wild.
Yeah. How has Design Edge maintained its position as a one-stop shop for product development over its 30-year history?
Just by delivering. You gotta do what you say you're going to do and say what you're going to do.
Yes. So I want to go back to your trip. You had a trip to, what was that again? Washington, D.C.? Well,
yeah, that was the most recent trip. I went to Washington, D.C. and went to Capitol Hill. I'm accompanied by a federal judge, and we visited about a dozen or so congressmen, sat down with them and explained to them issues that we had with the America Invents Act and the PTAB court, which allows for patents to be challenged, which is being heavily abused by massive tech corporations to invalidate existing patents of small-time inventors. So meeting one-on-one, it was amazing, and you know, to be sitting there with, you know, congressmen that I see on the news all the time, and just sitting at the little table and, you know, drinking a bottle of water and, you know, shooting the gab about things, everything from fishing to politics to what they thought of other congressmen.
Yes. Do you feel like you had any progress being there?
Yes, I had a lot of progress being there. I don't want to get too much into the weeds of what I was doing, because everyone tells me that you know, if any proponents listening, they'll know what we're doing. So we'll save that for you know, when Congress gets together and discusses these things, we'll know that the input that we've given these congressmen and for them to understand what's truly going on is of aid to them and to massive benefit to the inventing community, not just in the United States but to the world over.
Absolutely. And what is the UN?
The United Nations, based in Geneva. It's also, you might have seen the one in New York as well. That the UN's inventor association is called IFIA. That's the International Federation of Inventors. And that's 180 countries. And their versions of the UIA all meet together and we discuss inventing and how to protect inventors and give them resources the world over. I was appointed as the U.S. representative of the UIA to IFIA a year ago, and then I went to the general counsel meeting about a month ago, and to my surprise, they put me on the executive board.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, the success just keeps going and going and going. And I feel like your parents did an amazing job. Like, they did an amazing job raising you and showing you the way. And now you're doing an amazing job taking the ball and just, I'm sure, making them so proud, doing all of these great, amazing things. Y'all just, I'm so proud of your family.
I'll let them know.
So, do you want to say anything else about your role in the United Inventors Association?
I just, if you're an inventor out there and you think that you need help and you want to try to avoid some pitfalls, you should follow the United Inventors Association at uaausa.org. And if you're an aspiring toy inventor, we have a hub there for the toy hub where we'll help specifically toy people looking to invent their products to the toy in the toy industry.
Absolutely. So, with all of your great success, how have you been able to just celebrate yourself, celebrate your accomplishments, and just show yourself that self-gratitude?
I don't know. I'm just doing what I'm doing. It just, I'm always up for a good time. I don't need a reason to celebrate.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I am just very proud of you, and I'm learning, and I'm taking a lot of notes from your story and the information you have given us. But I am just so grateful for all of the knowledge you've given us. And yes, like, once again, I'm proud of you, and I just hope you just have continued success, which I'm sure you will.
Well, thank you, Brittany. If you want to join the UIA, join the UIAUSA.org. If you're looking to develop a product that you want to take to market and sell, you can contact me on LinkedIn. It's Matt Nuccio. I assume my name will be spelled right in the description, but you can also contact us at designedge.net. That's our website. And we're out there. We'll help, whether you're a one-person startup or you're a $2.5 billion company, we have the expertise and the effectiveness to help you grow.
All right. It was amazing having you on the show today, Matt.
Well, thank you, Brittany. I enjoyed being on.